Now, verse 7, we read, "And they brought the colt to Jesus, cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cast down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Now, this, I'm sure, was not too impressive to those in Jerusalem. I'm sure it was not too impressive to anyone who'd been in Rome at the time that one of the Caesars returned from a campaign, and they had that great triumphal entry, the victorious return of a Caesar, when it is said that the booty that he brought back, that sometimes that the march went on, the parade went on for probably 2 or 3 days, and all night long they'd be coming into the city. Very triumphal, you see. Here it was just a few Galilean peasants, but the impressive thing, the imposing thing, the important thing is that the Lord Jesus, for the first time, is offering himself publicly. Now notice what it says in verse 11. "And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12." And there are two things here that are important. That this was the first day he entered. It was obviously the Sabbath day. The money changers and oxen were not there. And he came in as priest, and he was the sacrifice. He's come in as the great high priest to offer the sacrifice that is acceptable to God for your sin and my sin. And then note that he did not spend the night in Jerusalem, but returned to Bethany for the evening. And as far as I can tell, he did not spend a night in the city that rejected him. Now notice verse 12. It says, "And on the morrow," now this is the second day, "when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it." Now, that little incident has caused a great big controversy, of course. "On the morrow" makes it very clear that this was the second day that he entered in triumph. And he also cleansed the temple, as we'll see in a moment, and he cursed the fig tree. And I think that here the nation Israel is represented by the fig tree. Now, I recognize the others that'll take exception to that. I'm not interested in the controversy. What I'm interested in, that there's a great spiritual lesson here, and that they had the outward leaves of a God-given religion, but there was no spiritual fruit there. I wonder if he wouldn't say that of the church today. That's what he's going to say of the church of Laodicea. It was a church that didn't have anything. It was poor and blind, and it needed to have the ointment open the eyes. That is, the Holy Spirit was not there. And I believe that that's the thing that Isaiah was talking about in the 29th chapter, verse 13, when he said, "Wherefore the Lord said, Forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of man." I would say that's the condition of the church today. Now, the Lord Jesus cursed the fig tree, as Matthew states, in just a little bit more detail, by the way, and that the fig tree withered away. Now, let's pass on from that. Verse 15, "And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple." Now, here he cleanses the temple. John tells us that he cleansed it at the beginning of his ministry, and here he cleanses it at the end of his ministry. And this took place on the second day, and this second day was not the Sabbath day, it was Sunday. And the money changers were now in the temple. Now, these money changers, they had actually a place on the stock market. They had a seat on the stock market. They were there. And when strangers came from other countries, in order to get the legal coin of the temple, they wouldn't use foreign coin. They'd exchange it for the legal tender of the temple. And, of course, they charged them a certain percentage. And it served a good purpose in a way, but the trouble of it was that our Lord said it had become a den of thieves. This had become a religious racket. And friends, that's always a danger in any Christian enterprise. And that's the reason folk ought to always check these religious rackets. And radio is pretty hard to check, I know. But if you're ever in Southern California and you'd like to come by and visit us, you can see that we're not in elaborate quarters. They're comfortable and they're nice. We're trying to operate in a very economical way that we can put everything into the buying of radio time. Well, this gave me an occasion, I guess, to get in a plug, and that's what I did. But this is important, by the way. And our Lord cleansed the temple. I think he'd do a lot of it today. And I don't want him to have to come around with a whip to clean up the Through the Bible radio program. I hope we'll have that part of it. We've got a lot of other things, I'm sure, to straighten out.